Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in thy law. Amen. Please be seated. Over the past few weeks, we have been journeying through the book of Romans, and we'll be journeying through the book of Philippians on what a living faith looks like. We had an intro to it, beginning with Romans 12, offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. We looked at the idea of forgiveness, and then we looked at the idea of patience. Today, we're going to unpack that very practical thing called love. As the great philosopher and theologian John Lennon said, all you need is love. Now, here's the thing. Paul tells us this, owe no one anything except a debt of love. Paul uses the illustration of debt because I think we all understand debt. Some of us may have credit cards. Some of us may have mortgages. We even have this thing called the national debt. Did you know that 2 weeks ago we hit $40 trillion? Now, when you say the word 40 and trillion, it sounds small. But let me illustrate to you how that debt would kind of look. $1 bill is 0.0453 inches in thickness. So that's pretty thin, right? If you took all of our national debt and you stacked $1 bill upon $1 bill, do you know how high that would reach? That would be 27.7 million miles. In other words, you could go to the moon and back 11 times from the amount of our national debt. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Owe no one anything but a debt of love. Paul tells us three things about love. There's a debt, there's a cycle, and there's a payment plan. There's a debt, there's a cycle, there's a payment plan. And he outlines it. The beginning of what we read, the first three or four verses, talks about this debt. You see, in love, God created us for relationship with him. Before the beginning of time in eternity, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, love himself. That's why 1 John says God is love. Before anything existed, he was in perfect relationship with himself. The overflow of that love created the universe. And we were built for relationship with him and relationship with others. You read the story of creation and God creates, and each successive period he says, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then, did you know that those are called benedictions? And then he gives you a malediction. But of course, you're thinking to yourself, that probably happened in Genesis chapter 3, when we eat from the fruit and we turn away from God. Do you know when God says it's not good? He does in chapter 1. It's not good for humanity to be alone. We were created for relationship, for love with him and love for one another. There's this debt of love that we owe to the God who gave us life and breath and love and everything. You know, we use the word love on a regular basis in our vocabulary. Like, well, we might say, I love pizza. You might even say, I love my dog. And you might even say, I love my spouse. But each time you mean something different. Our English language isn't well suited for that word. But the Greek is. In fact, there's one word that you use for when you say you love something, an object. There's another thing when you talk about the love that a parent has for a child. And then there's a whole other word that you have for the love that a husband and wife have for one another in Greek. And then there's a love, a selfless love that is used about God's love towards us and our love towards God that Paul tells us. Owe no one anything except for that selfless love. You see, if you look in the Oxford English Dictionary, it tells you that love is an affection towards something that you find desirable or attractive or useful to you. But actually, that's still somewhat self-centered. You're getting something out of it. The love that we read about in the New Testament, that agape, that selfless love, is a love that seeks the good of the other regardless of whether the other one wants your good or not. There's this debt of love that we owe, not just to God, but to others. Look at the Ten Commandments, and Paul's summing it up for us right now, right? If you look at the Ten Commandments, there are 10 of them, right? The first four have to do with the love of God. The last six have to do with the love of your neighbor. You love God, and then you love your neighbor. On these two hang all the law and the prophets, is what Jesus tells us. So there's this debt of love. But the problem with the debt is that, unfortunately, there is interest payment. And that can create a cycle, either a good cycle, a healthy cycle, or a bad cycle, a bad culture. Our debt of $40 trillion, every newborn child that comes right out into the maternity ward is born immediately owing $117,000 of our national debt. If every American citizen were to grab their life savings, empty it out right now, and try to pay off the debt, we still wouldn't be able to pay off our national debt. That's just the way it is. When you create a cycle of debt, a cycle of debt that is unhealthy, it is something that can be destructive and dangerous. Paul tells us about that. He says, do not walk in the darkness. Wake up, O sleeper, for the night is far gone and the day has come. Don't walk around in orgies, drunkenness, in sexual immorality, and in sensuality. I know the NRSV gave us different words, but sometimes they're so big that we lose what's actually being said. The Greek there is orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality. And you might think to yourself, man, that's pretty big stuff. Like, we're not doing that. We don't have that cycle of debt. I got small credit card debt. I take my credit card and I pay it off each billing cycle. It's fine. But did you notice how the cycle actually works? Genesis 3, right? What's the first sin? We just disobey. Disobedience. We take a bite out of some fruit. Do you know what the second sin that's reported in the Bible is? Murder. It's telling you that there's a cycle, that the cycle spirals downward and downward and downward. And when you create a system of that, it's hard to get out of it. The interest alone of our $40 trillion debt per year is $1.7 trillion. It just keeps growing and growing. The debt gets bigger and bigger, and we can't repay it. That's what Paul is trying to tell us. The debt, the cycle that we live in of not living for others and not living for God creates a downward spiral that gets worse and worse. And self-centeredness is not a good thing. Julian the Apostate was a Roman emperor who was brought up in the Christian faith, but when he became emperor, he rejected that. And he talked about these impious Galileans, and he lamented that the Roman, this was at the height and the beginning of the decline of the Roman Empire in the 380 AD. And he said this, the thing about it is that we've got all this money, all this taxes coming in. We 60% of the known world is living underneath our rule. And yet we can do whatever we want. We can do anyone we want. We have all the power to follow our desires, and yet we have our poor that are going hungry. And then he wrote a whole treatise called Against the Galileans. He said, these impious Galileans care not only for their own poor, but also for ours, and ours are starving. What he was saying is that when you follow the devices of your heart, it leads to self-centeredness. Love doesn't do that. Love seeks the best of the other. It leads to a debt cycle that can't be repaid. There's this guy called St. Augustine who tells his story of conversion. He was from North Africa. He went up to Milan, and he went to go study there in 385 AD. And he was a guy that gave in to licentiousness, debauchery. He did anything and anything. He probably did a lot of substances and did a lot of people. In very bad ways. But as he was there, he heard a voice say, pick up and read, pick up and read. So he picked up this book. And do you know what phrase he read? Make no provision for the flesh, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that struck him because he realized that he was living in a self-centered way for his own desires, his own appetites. And you can read his confessions. He tells you that he lived a pretty raunchy life before he became Saint Augustine. Augustine, the university student in Milan, lived for himself, lived a very hedonistic life. But then on the 24th of April of 386 AD, he bowed the knee to Jesus, got baptized, and gave that all up. And he's the one that has written some of the best treatises on Christian love and told us about how the Trinity, the Bible already tells us that, but he tells us that the Trinity is love itself, that we were created because of God's love. The just shall live by faith. He read those words and it changed his life. But he was stuck in a cycle that he couldn't break out of. He was not able to do that. How was he able to break out of it? Did he pay the debt? The interest kept spiraling. He couldn't make the credit card payments. He couldn't get out of the debt. But he discovered a payment plan. Make no provision for the flesh, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, here's the thing. We read in Exodus how the people of Israel were in slavery. They were enslaved to the powers and authorities of that day. And the only way that they were going to get free was through the Passover, with God intervening into human history and rescuing them, where God redeemed them and paid the price for them, where God redeems his firstborn. When you read the book of Genesis, it tells you the story that Abel discovered that one lamb was enough for one person. And then you read the book of Exodus, chapter 12 that we read, that one lamb is good enough for a household. And then you read the book of Deuteronomy, it tells you that one lamb is enough to pay the debt of a whole nation. And then you read the Gospel of John, where it tells us that John the Baptist looks at Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." A lamb isn't just good for one person, just good for one family, or just good for one nation. The lamb pays the payment for the whole world. The payment plan is infinite. Jesus invites us into a relationship with him. In a few moments, we're going to have a time to respond to this sermon in a very practical way. We're going to break bread and we're going to drink wine. And you know what? It is the world's most expensive meal. It costs God everything to provide you that meal. You know, sometimes you go out to a restaurant with friends and your friends decide to pay for you. It might cost them 50, 100, 200 bucks. If you go to a very fancy restaurant, it might cost you even more than that. You might go to an expensive meal. You might go to Ruth Chris Steakhouse. This meal wasn't just a couple hundred bucks. It cost God everything to redeem you. It cost him everything and it cost you nothing. So as you come to this table, would you be reminded of that love? And with that love, as you eat that bread and drink that wine, may it transform you. And if you come and receive prayer ministry, hey, have at it. Let the love that you experience then propel you to go out from here to love God and love your neighbor. I hope it's something super practical so that the only debt that you have when you walk out of this building is the debt of love that you owe Jesus Christ, who gave everything for you. You paid nothing and he paid everything, interest and all. Malvina Hall wrote a hymn in 1862 in Baltimore, and this is how the hymn goes. It says, I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow." We owed a debt that we could not pay. Christ paid a debt that he did not owe. And now the only debt that remains is the debt of love, a debt that grows not in interest, but grows in gratitude. So Lord, today, as we respond to your word, Lord, we ask that we would respond in a way that is worthy of the love that you showed on the cross. Let that love change us and transform us and make us debtors of grace and debtors of love. We ask this all in Christ's strong name. Amen.